The Orange County Sheriff's Office has identified a suspect in the killing of 14-year-old Lyric Woods and 18-year-old Devin Clark over the weekend. It's a juvenile suspect, 17 years old, so their identity's not being made public now, but local, state, and federal authorities are currently searching for them. In a statement, Sheriff Charles Blackwood said, quote, "I want to thank the families for trusting us in the investigative process during this excruciatingly painful time. I hope the imminent apprehension of this subject will bring them some comfort as they mourn their loved ones." We'll keep you posted on additional updates on that story as we continue to receive them. We've got more information on our website, chapelboro.com. Other local news, construction is still ongoing to repair the NC-86 overpass over I-85 in Hillsboro after a tractor-trailer hit the bridge last week. That work will shut down I-85 southbound tonight and tomorrow night from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. Southbound traffic will be routed off the highway and back on again at the 86 exit. State transportation officials say the bridge is set to reopen either late this week or early next week. Earlier this week, State Attorney General Josh Stein was in Hillsboro meeting with local leaders to discuss ongoing efforts to address the opioid epidemic. With more on what was discussed, 97 on the Hill, Sam Burmistos.
An epidemic of overdose-related deaths is taking a shockingly high toll in North Carolina. From 2019 to 2020, there was a 40% increase in overdose deaths in the state. An average of 9 people died a day here in 2020. And early data from 2021 shows a continued increase in the rate of opioid deaths. The harrowing numbers are prompting a response from state and local officials and addiction treatment advocates, which will soon be bolstered with funding from a recent $26 billion settlement reached earlier this year with the major pharmaceutical companies responsible for the tidal wave of opioids in communities across the nation. North Carolina Attorney General Josh Stein was a lead negotiator in that lawsuit. He met with local leaders in Hillsboro earlier this week for a roundtable discussion on how Orange County is tackling the overdose epidemic. Stein heard from Macon Hollister, the recovery diversion coordinator with the Lantern Project, a recent initiative that has shown signs of success helping Orange County residents struggling with addiction. The Lantern Project started last September and has already served 214 people.
Which is pretty incredible to think about, because that's 214 people who, before this program existed, wouldn't have been able to have access to treatment.
More than 80 Narcan kits, which can reverse overdose, were distributed in August alone by the Lantern Project. Hollister said the program helps people from all types of backgrounds, including those at risk of becoming caught up in the criminal justice system.
Meeting those basic life needs allow them to then focus on their recovery and their treatment and whatever it is that they need in order to move forward with their life.
According to the NC Department of Health and Human Services, more than 70% of overdose deaths in the state involved fentanyl, often in combination with other substances. One way local advocates are seeking to help those struggling with addiction is with the installation of a new Narcan vending machine at the Orange County Detention Center in Hillsboro. The vending machine holds free Narcan kits and fentanyl testing strips and came together with the help of the North Carolina Harm Reduction Coalition. After the roundtable, Attorney General Stein praised the wide-ranging efforts from local officials combating overdose deaths in the county.
If these folks are not talking to each other, it's never going to work, because we have to help people wherever they are, and they're often in the jails or the emergency departments, and then connect them to where they can actually get healthy and well.
Stein said further settlement money for major pharmaceutical companies is likely down the road. $750 million from this year's $26 billion settlement is going to North Carolina efforts. 85% of those funds will go directly to local efforts to support treatment, recovery, harm reduction, and other strategies, according to officials. The rest will go to the state for the same purposes.
Folks out there who either are struggling with addiction or they have a loved one who's struggling with addiction need to know there's hope. There is a path to recovery, and we're just trying to help them get there.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Sam Burmistos.
That roundtable discussion was on Monday. Also on Monday, Governor Roy Cooper and other notable officials were in Chapel Hill to help rename the UNC Cancer Hospital in honor of longtime state senator Mark Basnight. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell was there.
Basnight was a Democrat from Manteo, North Carolina. After his wife Sandy was diagnosed with leukemia, Basnight saw the need for enhanced research capabilities, more advanced technologies and equipment, and better healthcare facilities to help fight the state's deadliest disease, according to a press release from UNC Health. The release added residents from North Carolina and beyond make more than 270,000 outpatient visits each year to the cancer hospital, the clinical home for UNC Lineberger Comprehensive Cancer Center and its affiliated clinics. The UNC Cancer Hospital was opened in 2009, and it's a part of the Chapel Hill Medical Campus. The release said Bastnight was instrumental in the opening of the hospital, drawing inspiration from doctors, researchers, patients, and caregivers he met during his wife Sandy's battle with bone marrow cancer. Former UNC System President Erskine Bowles was the first chair of the Cancer Research Fund Committee, which oversees the University Cancer Research Fund. He said having the Bastnight name attached to the UNC Cancer Hospital reflects Bastnight's dedication to the state, as well as his family's personal journey with the disease.
His focus was always on how will it improve the lives of the little guy.
Bowles added Bastnight believed every North Carolinian deserved excellent access to healthcare, and his personal connection to cancer led him to advocate for increased state funding to combat the disease.
This disease broke his heart, but it also opened his eyes to the need to find a cure for this cancer and other cancers that have devastated the lives of so many North Carolinians.
Peter Hans, the president of the University of North Carolina system, said Bastnight was a humble man with only a high school degree, though that didn't stop him from influencing change in higher education. Hans added, Bastnight believed the most advanced science and the most experienced researchers and physicians could be found in Chapel Hill, which strongly influenced his decision to move to the area.
And we owe him, not just for that, of course, but for making sure that public higher education in North Carolina remained a true public good, always benefiting from bipartisan goodwill. He didn't just commit his life to North Carolina, he recruited others to do the same.
Governor Roy Cooper also spoke at the ceremony and said Bastnight had an extensive list of accomplishments during his 26 years in the North Carolina Senate.
There are two kinds of people who run for elective office. Those who want to be something and those who want to do something. Some are a little of both. Not Mark Bastnight. He knew who he was and what he would continue to be when he got elected. A humble, smart, caring, real person.
Cooper said Bastnight's painful loss of his wife to cancer ultimately led to the center being founded.
He met many real people, North Carolina families that were fighting cancer, and he wanted to help them, and he did. This place is an important part of his sweeping legacy, and it is so fitting that it should carry his name.
Bill Roper, the CEO of UNC Health at the time the cancer hospital was built, said Bastnight's vision and leadership led him to be an instrumental part of the creation of the North Carolina Cancer Hospital and the recurring University Cancer Research Fund and Biomedical Research Imaging Center.
Senator Bastnight's primary goal throughout these efforts was to improve cancer treatment and access to that treatment for the people of North Carolina.
Roper added, in 2009, Bastnight led the push to fund the construction of the largest medical research building on UNC's campus, Marsico Hall.
And now, 13 years later, we take the very appropriate step of dedicating it to Mark.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Madison Ward.
Also on campus, the Daily Tar Heel reports university officials have removed drinking fountains in five more campus buildings after finding detectable levels of lead just a few weeks after lead was also detected in drinking fountains at Wilson Library. Drinking fountains containing lead were found in South Building, Hamilton Hall, Fordham Hall, Manning Hall, and Phillips Hall, and another drinking fountain was removed from Wilson Library as well. Better water quality news, there we go, for the town of Pittsboro, which recently installed a new granular activated carbon filter, GAC for short, to try to reduce PFAS chemicals in the water supply. First test results came in late last week. Results showed an 85% reduction in PFAS chemicals after filtering. State-level news, a new survey from Emerson College shows Republican Ted Budd with a 3-point lead over Democrat Sherry Beasley, 46-43 in the race for U.S. Senate. That's a narrowing of the race from Emerson's previous survey back in May, That's before the Supreme Court's abortion decision. Bud led Beasley by 7 points then. Meanwhile, in Raleigh, WRAL reports State Senate Republican Leader Phil Berger says there are no plans to waive state income taxes on student loan debt forgiveness. That forgiven student loan debt is exempt from federal income tax, but North Carolina is one of a handful of states where it's still subject to state income taxes. Governor Roy Cooper has called on lawmakers to change that law, but Berger says that's not in the works. Back locally, the mayors of Chapel Hill and Carrboro have joined nearly 150 mayors nationwide in signing a letter denouncing hate, extremism, and bigotry and promoting diversity and inclusivity in the wake of a rise in violence and harassment against minority groups. That letter was sponsored by the Anti-Defamation League and the U.S. Conference of Mayors. Five North Carolina mayors have signed the letter in all, including the mayors of Charlotte, Kinston, and Winston-Salem. Durham, get on it. Finally, in Chapel Hill, some temporary facility closures this week. The gym and pool at the Chapel Hill Community Center are closed today through Sunday for routine annual maintenance. The gym at the Hargrave Center is also closed for maintenance Thursday through Monday. And part of the Tanyard Branch Trail will be closed today from 10 to 1 to construct a new bench. The pool at the Homestead Aquatic Center is also closed through today after emergency shutdown earlier this week. But town officials say that should be back open tomorrow. 6:22, your time. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Ignite Wellness. Carolina men's soccer fought UNC Wilmington to a scoreless draw last night, their second straight tie after a 1-1 draw with Duke over the weekend. Tar Heels outshot the Seahawks 18-2, but couldn't get the ball in the net. They're back in action this Saturday on the road at Notre Dame. UNC women's soccer has its next game tomorrow at Syracuse. Tar Heels dropped a spot in this week's coaches poll down to number 3 after losing to Virginia over the weekend. UNC field hockey held steady at number 2 in their national rankings. Senior Meredith Shoulder earned ACC Defensive Player of the Week honors after leading Carolina to a shutout win over 4th-ranked Louisville on Friday. Speaking of individual honors, a pair of big ones for sophomore cross-country star Bryn Brown, who took first place in the 6K at a meet in Indiana over the weekend. Brown was named ACC Women's Co-Performer of the Week and National Division I Women's Athlete of the Week by the Track and Field and Cross Country Coaches Association. Meanwhile, we're still a few days away from UNC football taking the field against Notre Dame. Tar Heels could be closer to full strength with the possible return of wide receivers Josh Downs and Antoine Green. Also likely back on the field will be defensive back Don Chapman, who missed Carolina's last game after being arrested earlier this month. Complicated case, though, and here's head coach Mack Brown on Chapman.
Don Chapman will remain on the team. He never left the team, but he did not travel to Georgia State. And with the information that we've gathered over 2 weeks, we feel like that he should stay on the team and he will play this weekend. If some other information comes up, obviously, that is different than what we've learned, then we would look at it closely and see if that changed the narrative.
That's head coach Mack Brown speaking there. Other sports news, a big announcement yesterday from the ACC as the conference confirmed plans to relocate its headquarters to Charlotte next year after being headquartered in Greensboro since its founding back in 1953. Conference Board of Directors approved that plan unanimously. And finally, in baseball, another win last night for the Durham Bulls, 9-2 over Norfolk. That's 5 in a row now for the Bulls. They're still in first place by a game and a half with 8 games left to play. They're back in action tonight, hosting the Tides at 6:35.